And welcome to another Thursday edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. That's me going at you for, I guess, boy, the usual show length is anywhere between 2 and 5 or 6 hours. This one is sort of it's a 3.5 hour show with a couple of extra shows tacked on as all part of the flashback period to November 18th, 2012. You'll be hearing in the studio with me Bill Adansky and Danny Bishop. The name Adansky is a little bit familiar to me, but I'm damned if I can remember who Danny Bishop was, but you'll be able to maybe puzzle it out with me. Interviews are interspersed with the in-studio discussions with these folks about different adventures they've had in Santa Cruz. Again, I tend to focus on their relations with the police department, with poor people, as poor people. There was a lot of Red Church interviews happening in these shows at this time. That's the meal that happened every Monday between 5 and 7, or actually between 6 and 7, but I sometimes got there early. Interviewed a lot of people standing in line waiting for food. You'll hear, goodness, Lito, also known as Miguel de Leon, a guitarist and sort of a resistance man fighting the attempt of the police to enforce cruel laws like the sleeping ban. He was simply refused to abide by them. He would sleep where he had to, and he and his sometime partner, Anna Richardson, at that time, were finally given a lengthy civil injunction against sleeping downtown. It wasn't like they slept in the middle of the road, but the city was insistent on showing its authority. Thou shalt not sleep. They didn't offer them accommodations. They just said, go somewhere else. And that they would not do. This was in 2009, this civil suit happened, but you have Lito giving us sort of an update on continued harassment, because I would speculate his resistance from earlier times. There's also mention of a memorial to Robert Blind Bear Facer, who is a fellow who was active in the Occupy movement, which happened about a year before the Occupy Wall Street / Occupy Santa Cruz, Occupy whatever governmental deformed agency you happen to be nearest that year before. You'll hear Sweet String Sue discussing her 4-hour gig on Halloween. We get sort of some reports from Halloween. Void, Niven, Lloyd, and I think it's Tubby or Tubby, I'm not sure which, discusses Halloween SCPD behavior, which may not be surprising, but it's not particularly encouraging. We have Chris the musician, we have Donna Lynn, we have two squad cars blocking the road, or I should say blocking up on the sidewalk and blocking half the Pacific Avenue in order to give one bike a ticket for going without a light. Battle-weary Bob Patton gives us an update on the vets situation. I think probably, although I'm not sure, around the vets hall and the struggle to re-secure it from the county. Street jeweler Ann of Dreamtime Designs talks about her adventures on Pacific Avenue dealing with authorities there. And then there's a lot about Linda LeMaster, or Lighthouse Linda, as I called her then and still do call her, talking about the Association of Faith Communities resources that they had put out to give the impression that there were actually the real avenues for homeless people to get shelter, food, clothing, and other necessary survival implements. I was quite skeptical, but I wanted her analysis. She was the chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force, or like I called it, the Homeless Icky Task Force, which had been doing its usual rote, see how we're investigating so you don't have to do anything to pressure us. We will just pretend like we're doing something and you can go home. that went on in 1999 and 2000. And it's still going on. It did happen with the Catch Committee in 2099. And it's there's still the same kind of pretenses being made for government assistance to homeless people in a meaningful way. And huge grants are going to places like Housing Mutters, or I call it Funding Matters. It's Housing Matters is what they call it. They're, of course, currently running everybody off in March or April of next year, stopping all services. They're not running everybody off. They're actually taking in more people in a new building, but they're sweeping people, colluding with the police, or certainly not objecting and praising the police department for their raids and destruction of tents of people who are sleeping right near the entrance to the so-called Housing Matters Poverty Industrial Complex on Coral Street. Anyway, we get Linda's analysis of the Association of Faith Communities, which is another poverty pimp group, which gets some positive reviews from people who have used it and been hired by them. Troublesome Thomas, a Huff member, has lots of good things to say about the Association of Faith Communities. I've had mixed experiences with them. Then we kind of zero in on Linda LeMaster's trial for the crime of simply trying to caretake Christopher Doyen when he was ill and doing protests. Actually, it was 2 years before, on the steps of the county building, or I should say the courthouse, which is right next to the county building. At 3 in the morning, sheriffs demanded she leave, and she wouldn't leave his side. They say they arrested her, claimed she was illegally lodging, that is to say a cooked-up charge, which was then taken to court 2 years later, and this is the court trial of that 647E state code. You'll hear from David Silva, or at least he's mentioned here, Steve Plaich, at the trial. The restriction on media that was being imposed. Of course, the entire area around the courthouse and the county building had been made a forbidden zone to be in, even if you weren't sleeping, even if you weren't there. If you were there for a legitimate purpose to protest peacefully, your right of assembly was simply a basis for a ticket, trespassing ticket, for which you could be found guilty and sentenced to up to a year in jail and or a $1,000 fine maximum. There's all that and more, because it's a very densely packed tape, I should say audio file. And then you'll hear, if you keep listening, you'll hear Making Contact, one of the shows that Free Radio broadcasts regularly, profiling three anti-nuclear activists. And then after that, it's a long interview with neuroscientist, I should say major anti-Muslim bigot, as I have seen recently, although I don't think he was necessarily of that mind. He talks about the end of faith and critiques religion. He's never a big fan of religion, for that matter, neither am I, but perhaps from different points of view. Anyway, that's the flashback from November 18th, 2012. It's coming at you. If you have the stomach for it and the ear to listen to it, you'll be able to, because here it is.